ask questions as well. Those are the kinds of things that you'll find at your public radio station, KJZZ. And we want to make sure that we continue with this wonderful type of programming that you've come to depend on. So help make that happen. Let's make 2014 an even greater year. Support KJZZ. The number to call is 888-774-9150 or online at kjzz.org.
Absolutely, you're right, Nadine. You know, those are the other listeners just like yourself who are listening to the Diane Rehm Show, and maybe they're asking the questions that you would ask. So put a value on that and do your part this morning and contribute to your public radio station. You can go to the website at kjzz.org, or you can call us at 888-774-9150 to do your part to support your public radio station. This is listener-supported KJZZ FM Phoenix and HD, a service of Rio Salado College, asking for you to step forward and make that contribution to keep this programming alive. You can go to the website at kjzz.org or at 888-774-9150. We thank you. And the news is next. It's 1101.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. Lawmakers are proposing a bipartisan budget deal that would restore an estimated $63 billion in automatic spending cuts and eliminate the threat of another government shutdown. The increased spending in the deal would be offset by spending reductions and higher fees elsewhere in the budget. Republican Representative Paul Ryan is praising the newly reached agreement.
We've got to find a way to make this divided government work. We think it's our nation's interest to do that. That's why we sought to reach a budget agreement that maintained our core principles and found common ground. And we have found common ground with our colleagues on the other side of the aisle over in the Senate.
President Obama is calling the deal a good first step. Ukrainian riot police withdrew from a protest camp after moving against demonstrators overnight in their latest attempt to reclaim the streets after weeks of protests against President Viktor Yanukovych. Top U.S. diplomat for Europe, Victoria Nuland, and her European counterpart both arrived yesterday expecting to negotiate for a peaceful settlement. NPR's Corey Flintoff says it's hard to say what will happen next.
And so it came as a shock to everyone that when the government decided to bring in riot troops and try to forcibly clear the square. In fact, that generated a very angry message from the United States. Secretary of State John Kerry said the United States is disgusted by the Ukrainian government's decision to use force.
NPR's Corey Flintoff. Pope Francis has been named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. NPR's Dave Mattingly reports the award recognizes the person believed to have had the greatest effect on the world in 2013.
Time Magazine's managing editor Nancy Gibbs says Pope Francis is being honored for shifting the message of the Catholic Church away from what she calls theological police work.
So much of what he has done in this brief 9 months in office is really changed the tone that is coming out of the Vatican. He is saying we're about the healing mission of the church.
Gibbs speaking on NBC's Today Show. In a statement, the Vatican says the Pope isn't looking to become famous or to receive awards, but the statement adds if it helps spread the message of God's love for everyone, the Pope is happy about that. Dave Mattingly, NPR News.
Long lines of South Africans and some world leaders are filing past the casket containing the body of Nelson Mandela today in the country's capital. The former South African president is lying in state in the amphitheater where he was sworn in 19 years ago. There will be two more days of public viewings. Mandela will be buried on Sunday. At last check on Wall Street, the Dow was down 92 points, the Nasdaq down 41. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Pajamagram Company, offering matching holiday pajamas for the whole family, including dogs and cats, at pajamagram.com.
Good morning. I'm Steve Goldstein, along with Mark Moran. This is Here and Now on KJZZ. During our year-end campaign, as a regular listener, you receive a tremendous amount of value from KJZZ, and today we're asking you to give something back, your tax-deductible contribution. The number to call is 888-774-9150.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, everybody. Well, this hour, what a wonderful opportunity to win the Live It Up in Lisbon, Portugal for Two contest. The winner's going to be drawn Friday night at 6 o'clock. That's right. This is a very short fundraising campaign. It'll be over on Friday. Do your part now. KJZZ.org or 888-774-9150. Live it up in Lisbon. You'll be automatically entered to win the contest, 6 nights in a 4-star resort. Enter now, KJZZ.org or 888-774-9150.
When you want to know what's going on in the state, the region, across the country, around the world, you turn to KJZZ. And KJZZ original productions like Here and Now, made possible with your support, talking about the issues that you care about on the ground here in the Phoenix area or across this state. Put a dollar value on the listening you do for this tax-deductible contribution. Only a couple of more weeks left in this year. If you've already made a contribution during this year, we thank you. But if you haven't, there's still a little bit of time left, and now is the time to do it online at KJZZ.org.
And when you make your tax-deductible gift, consider doing it on a monthly basis. You become a sustaining member, maybe $10 or $20 a month. It's a lot easier, at least it is for me, I know, to do things monthly, $10 or $20 a month, rather than come up with that full $240 or whatever it is, and you still get the same tax deductibility with your gift, but consider making it monthly, and you can do it automatically. KJZZ.org or 888-774-9150.
One of the huge issues around the state in recent months was Medicaid expansion. We will dig in on that a little bit later this hour. One report just came out this week saying it's a bad idea for Arizona's economy. We'll get a pro and con on that. News and conversation about issues in Arizona, you're making it possible because of your listener support. Whatever that contribution is, could you afford $10 a month? Can you become a sustaining member? Maybe $20 a month comes out of your checking account or build your credit card account every month. Keep making this possible into the year ahead. The great reporting you've come to count on. 888-774-9150.
KJZZ original productions like KJZZ Here and Now are made possible with your individual gift of support. And right now, you're entered for a chance to win a trip to Lisbon, Portugal for two. You'll discover breathtaking, romantic, and picture-perfect views of the city as you wander around. You'll be walking through the golden age of history. KJZZ.org or 888-774-9150.
This is a very short end-of-year drive, but we're doing it because you're going to help us bring the great reporting, the great analysis you've come to expect in past years. You're going to make it possible in the year ahead. Be as generous as you can be. Think about the value of public radio in your life, the value of original KJZZ programs like Here and Now in your life every day, and call now with that contribution. 888-774-9150.
Once again, your gift is tax deductible no matter the amount, so consider making your gift now at 888-774-9150 or KJZZ.org. Break it up, do it monthly, become a sustaining member. It's easy. You don't want to lose fact-based, quality, high-level journalism here in the Valley. Do your part now. KJZZ.org, 888-774-9150.
And you're automatically entered to win Live It Up in Lisbon, Portugal for two. Breathtaking, romantic, picture-perfect views of the city as you wander around, and you're supporting local reporting, local analysis you've come to count on. It's very easy. Make the call. 888-774-9150. Thanks. It's KJZZ's Here and Now. Good morning. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. Later this hour, I'll talk with a couple of people about a new report that says Arizona's decision to expand Medicaid will turn out to be a bad economic choice as private insurance becomes less common in the state. Plus, the work of C.S. Lewis will be back on stage in Phoenix later this week as the New York-based Fellowship for the Performing Arts brings The Great Divorce to the Herberger Theater Center. I'll talk with the group's artistic director, Max McLean. We start today's program by talking to a couple of candidates for higher office in Arizona, who many observers think are facing tough challenges to get elected. In a few minutes, I'll be joined by Mark Brnovich, who's taking on incumbent Tom Horn in the Republican primary for Attorney General. Fred Duvall, meanwhile, is the Democratic frontrunner for the 2014 gubernatorial race. Duvall has been behind the scenes as an advisor to former Arizona Governor and Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt. He was also a member of the Arizona Board of Regents. He's with me now by phone from New York. Your friend, I presume not former friend, and former classmate Bob Robb of the Arizona Republic, he had high praise for you. We talked about it recently. He still said, though, because of the Republican registration advantage in Arizona, you'd have a difficult time overcoming the Republican opposition. How will you get past that?
Well, of course, Arizona has elected now a majority of Democrats to the Congress. We've elected a Democrat to governor two of the last three elections. We're really a swing state. We have very independent-minded voters, and it's a good thing. They support people of both parties, and I think the real trick in sort of communicating with voters is to talk to the real needs. It's not to get caught up in the partisan vocabulary and the partisan sort of fighting. That's not where the solutions lie. The solutions lie reaching across the aisle, finding common ground, identifying the things that are really going to make a difference in people's lives, and you know, addressing the education of their kids and whether or not they've got the jobs that they need to put food on the table, the real concerns. And that transcends party politics, and that's what my campaign is going to be about.
But when we consider independent expenditure groups, Citizens United, all these other factors that have come into play, is it that much harder to get those simple, straightforward messages to voters so they understand it in the midst of all the mess?
Well, it's a good question. Increasingly, because of the new ways that campaigns are being run by third-party groups, increasingly candidates are only a part, they manage only a part of the things that are getting to the voters, and these third-party entities that candidates never get to know, never talk to, are managing other parts. And so you end up losing much of the control over your messaging, but you know, it is what it is. And what I'll plan to do with my campaign apparatus is talk to the issues of jobs and education and opportunity that folks want to be hearing about, and I hope that they will cut through the clutter and get to the real issues of the day.
Tell us about some of the challenges. You were a congressional candidate, but you've basically been someone who's been very powerful, influential behind the scenes. Tell us about the challenges of becoming the face of a campaign, the person that voters are going to turn to.
Well, I appreciate that. The congressional race I made was many years ago, about 12 years ago, and I've moved into a number of areas since then. Notably, the State Commerce Board oversees the State Department of Commerce and Economic Development, and I served in that capacity for a couple of years, trying to drive us into a 21st century industries and economic growth. And from there to the Board of Regents, which I served on for 5 years, finishing as chair, where we went through a significant reform of higher education. Because of the recession, we were forced to cut over $500 million from the universities and yet keep them vital and make sure that we've got access to good students to make sure that we produce as many degrees as possible. So really rewarding work, and I've been very grateful to have an opportunity to do that. And I think that work in job creation and work in education, and then most recently I've done some consulting work for T. Boone Pickens around energy, a very bipartisan effort to get America off foreign oil. And these are all, I think, all key issues going forward into the next century, and I hope to continue my work, particularly in the education and job creation arenas.
And as a member of the Board of Regents, I did want to ask you this question. The board recently rejected a proposal from Dennis DeConcini to charge tuition to so-called Dreamers that's about 10% above the figure that in-state students pay. What do you think of that proposal, and is that a direction you think the state will need to go in at some point?
I do. I supported what the senator was trying to do. Dream kids grew up in Arizona. They are the bright kids of their generation. They're getting good grades. They're staying in school. They're making all the right choices. They're showing enormous promise. You know, there's nothing out of state about them. They're living in state and have gone to our public schools and are products of that. And they are showing great promise in higher education, and we are pricing them out of the market, and we will lose their talents if we do not find a pathway for them to find an affordable way of getting a degree and becoming the full job creators and economic producers and contributors to our society that we know that they can be.
How will the lack of immigration reform in Congress potentially affect races in Arizona, including yours?
Well, I think there will be an enormous anger. You know, issues have an arc. There's a time and a place to address issues, and now is the right time to address the immigration issue. I stopped by the tent on the Capitol Mall yesterday to meet with these wonderful, incredible, committed families that are fasting to try and draw attention to the need to pass immigration reform. And yet, Steve, I'm going to go a different direction. I think it's going to go. I think that the incredible need we have for our economy to make sure that we've got the kind of talent in the high-tech arena, in the agriculture arena, in the full array of our economy, as well as the humanitarian issues that are involved with this immigrant population, just simply requires us to act. I think the Congress is going to act. The Senate already has, of course, and I think the House will. I think it's just becoming a political and economic imperative, and I think they'll respond.
Do you think that's something that has to happen, let's say, before election season really gets going? Is that something in the first quarter of next year we'd have to see?
Yes, there's an artistry to this which other people would know more about in terms of how they do it and what pieces. I gather the House is going to look at it in pieces and then assemble it to marry up to the Senate bill. So there's a process involved, but that's not the important thing. The important thing is this is the issue of the day. It is an issue the country must address in a comprehensive fashion to deal with border security and to deal with talent and to deal with the humanitarian issues comprehensively, and I'm confident that they will.
It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein, speaking with Democratic gubernatorial candidate Fred Duvall for the next couple of minutes. Fred, do you think the state is in clearly worse shape than it was when Janet Napolitano left the governor's office to become Homeland Security Secretary?
Well, our unemployment rate is comfortably above the national average. The jobs that are returning are lower wage jobs than what we've been accustomed to. Too many Arizonans are being forced out of their jobs and into either multiple jobs or lower wage jobs where they're struggling to meet the needs of their families. So this is not the kind of economic growth that we need for Arizona. We need a broad array of manufacturing jobs, high wage jobs. We need to be able to create the kind of opportunities for our Arizona citizens and the kind of educational opportunities for their children that we need to compete in the 21st century, and that's not happening. And it is in other states. We are not moving forward with the same kind of pace that many other states are, and we've got to get in the game because our citizens deserve that.
Fred, again, sort of a political question, but when a legislature is controlled by Republicans, though the supermajority is gone, is there a feeling that even phrasing of things has to be different? Because there are many Democrats who look at certain spending, whether it's on education or other things, as investment, and there are many Republicans who look at that as government spending, and that's a terrible thing. How do you make that pivot so that more people do look at it as an investment?
Well, semantics do matter, and sometimes you have to get into, you know, we're dealing with Common Core, and I guess in Arizona we're going to call it something different to deal with that semantic point that you're making. So I recognize sometimes the importance of semantics, but what you don't want to have happen is let semantics get in the way of getting the work done. I mean, the work is about making sure that we've got the kind of investment in our kids, both in the education space and clearly, as we've recently watched over the last month of this horrendous situation at CPS, to make sure that our kids are safe, to make sure that our kids can prosper and can get the tools that they need to be able to be contributors to our economy. And that's a conversation that ought to be data-driven. It ought to be competitiveness-driven. What do we need to do to compete in this new economy and to make sure that we're learning from other states and from other countries and doing the things that we know will make a difference? And don't let semantics get in the way. If in the course of selling ideas, we need to deal with different word selection, I will deal with that. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is finding common ground about the strategic things that will improve people's lives.
Fred Duvall, Democratic candidate for governor of Arizona in 2014. It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein. Another statewide candidate who many think is facing an uphill climb is Mark Brnovich, who's challenging incumbent Tom Horn in the 2014 Republican primary for attorney general. And Brnovich joins me now. Tom Horn is someone who has won some major statewide elections. He's an incumbent attorney general. Why are you challenging him?
You know, in Ronald Reagan's farewell address, he said that don't be afraid to see what you see. And as a former prosecutor, someone who's worked very close with law enforcement, I did not like what I was seeing in the attorney general's office. So I talked to a lot of my friends, family, folks involved in law enforcement and public safety. And I think anybody that's been involved in the legal system, anybody that knows or understands the attorney general's office, it requires someone with integrity and character. And I think if you look at my background and you look at my experience, I bring a unique set of tools to the table. And as attorney general, I think we want an attorney general that's going to get headlines for the right reasons, not the wrong reasons. And you need someone in that office that's got integrity, that has character.
So are you someone who, the headlines we see, whether it's campaign finance or other certain things, you're someone who believe these are true and the person who's in the attorney general's office should not be connected with these things?
I think we should have an attorney general that is beyond reproach. We need an attorney general that's going to do things for the right reasons in the right way. And any first day prosecutor gets trained that when you're a prosecutor, when you're the state's chief law enforcement officer, when you wield that sort of justice, you are held to a higher standard, and rightly so. Prosecutors, the government has the ability to take away your rights, your property, to affect your livelihood, and you want someone in that position that has integrity. He or she must be beyond reproach.
One question about the actual campaign of things. I hope that the people who wanted you to run told you how tough it's going to be, and also going against an experienced campaigner like Tom Horn. Tell me about the specific challenges of running for office, not just being the attorney general if you win. Clearly, you've got the experience for that, but getting there is going to be a rough road.
You know, nothing you do that's worthwhile is easy. And I have always believed, and the way I was brought up is that, you know, if you take the easy way, you really can't accomplish anything. And the values I was brought up growing up here in Arizona, I have a wonderful family, and I want to leave this a better place than when I found it. I think we all have that obligation. And I think that to whom much is given, much is expected in return. And so I'm not doing this because it's easy or because I think I'm going to be popular or because I want to be somebody. I'm doing this because I want to do something. I see what's happening in that office, and I see what's not happening in that office. And whether it's issues related to pushing back against the Obama administration and the war on coal, whether it's what's happening with CPS and Child Protective Services, I mean, there are major issues going on in this state that are being neglected for whatever reason. And we need an attorney general who's going to be proactive and do the right thing in the right way.
Let's talk a little bit more about that then, Mark. What are some of your priorities if you were to win this office that you feel like the Attorney General's office either hasn't focused on enough or is focused in the wrong way?
Yeah, and I'm not sure why some of these issues have fallen through the cracks, if it's because of the myriad of ethical distractions or whether it's because they're not priorities. I can't say to that. Only the current Attorney General can tell you why. But I think that three things that I think we need to do much, much better, and I've said this since the very first day I announced I was running. One is, I think we need to do more to protect vulnerable children and adults in our society. And you're seeing all these reports now out of CPS, or you just got to open up the paper, and it's absolutely horrible. And as someone who's a prosecutor, who's worked, spent most of my career trying to keep our community safer, it is intolerable and unacceptable to have what's going on with people that can't protect themselves and our communities not being able to fight back. And as Attorney General, I will make sure those cases are investigated, I will make sure they were prosecuted, and I will make sure we do everything we can to make sure the agencies get the advice they need. It, once again, it's unconscionable that thousands of children were just cast to the curb, and we need to get to the bottom of that. Two, I think we need to do much more to combat human smuggling, especially sex trafficking. I was recently visited the Dream Center in Phoenix, and they do a lot of work with the homeless and also those victims of sexual trafficking. And it is an absolutely tragedy. When you see young people, often teenagers, that are being exploited and trafficked in the sex trade, it is unacceptable. We can't have that going on in our community. As Attorney General, I'm doing everything I can to stop that. And the third thing, I think Arizonans want an Attorney General that's going to fight back against the Obama administration and federal overreach. When I see what's going on with EPA regulations that are being handed out, they're going to result in loss of jobs and higher energy prices here in Arizona. We want an Attorney General that's going to be proactive in fighting back. When you see what's happening with Obamacare and those mandates, we want an Attorney General that's going to use every tool in that toolbox to make sure that we don't get programs that are too expensive, that we don't need, we can't afford, and shred the 10th Amendment in the process.
Now, Mark, you've been a member of the Brewer administration, technically, as gaming director.
I worked, yes.
And the governor is someone who favored Medicaid expansion because of the federal money would come, and that was an issue among many Republicans because of the Affordable Care Act and people's opposition to it. So how would you reconcile those things? I mean, Tom Horn and the governor have had some issues, even though he's supposed to be the attorney. How do you get through that when it comes to perhaps there'd be a disagreement between you and the governor?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Steve, because when Tom Horn last legislative session was asked about the Medicaid expansion, he refused to comment or get involved in that issue. And so I think that's a pattern that we can't accept from the Attorney General. It's the same reason why we see issues like Colorado City and what's going on there not being addressed, because the Attorney General's been disengaged for whatever reason on these issues. I think that as the Attorney General, you're required to defend state statutes. There is ongoing litigation right now over the Medicaid expansion, and as the next Attorney General, I'm going to be involved in reviewing that, and I'm going to sit down, and we're going to look at the file, and we're going to make sure that it complies with the Constitution. But the Attorney General is the state's lawyer. He's got to be the state's chief law enforcement officer, but he also represents agencies, and he also defends statutes.
Mark, I guess I'm looking at you as a small government guy, as someone who's with the Goldwater Institute, and yet you've been in the U.S. Attorney's Office, you've also been State Gaming Director. How do you reconcile taking over an agency, if you would, as Attorney General, with this idea of, do these agencies, in some cases, need more government support? Do they need more money so you can hire more attorneys and take care of things like human smuggling and CPS? How do you balance that out?
You know, I think we need an attorney general that has good instincts and has a good track record of doing the right thing. One of the things that history has taught me, and also as a prosecutor, you realize very quickly that no one does anything that's uncharacteristic of who they are, and whether that's they conduct themselves in their personal life and their professional life. And Steve, you're absolutely right. I have been an advocate for smaller, leaner, more efficient government, but that is not inconsistent with the notion that we need a government that is going to be there to protect those that are most vulnerable and those that can't fight back against themselves. And that's why I was drawn to be a prosecutor. It's why I also was a JAG officer in the reserves here, because I believe we have an obligation to protect those that can't protect themselves. And sometimes that means it's an allocation of resource. Sometimes it means it's a change in philosophy. Sometimes it means a change in priorities. And so when I'm the attorney general, people should know that I have Arizona values, and we will make sure that those that are most vulnerable in our society are protected. And at the same time, we're not going to be expanding or increasing the scope of government just to increase it.
Mark Brnovich, Republican candidate for attorney general. He's challenging the incumbent in the primary, Tom Horn. Still to come on Here and Now, we'll talk about a new report saying that Medicaid expansion will not be good for Arizona's economy. We'll get the pro and con on that as Here and Now continues.
KJZZ is supported by Bally, Arizona, celebrating the holidays with the Nutcracker, a magical evening of wonder with Tchaikovsky's memorable score performed live, December 6th to 24th. Tickets on sale now at balletaz.org.
My name is Roxanne, and I am a new member supporter of KJZZ. I've off and on donated, but last year I just really thought that it was time for me to become more of a sustaining member, because I've appreciated all the work that KJZZ has done. And, you know, everybody pays taxes, right? We all pay for the things that help us in the government and otherwise. So in a way, this is something that I think is one of the things that's in our community that is worthwhile to support.
Good morning. You're listening to Here and Now on listener-supported KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein along with Mark Moran. Thanks for listening today. It's our year-end campaign. Right now, we're counting on you to do your part to support the programs you listen to every day, whether it's Here and Now or the Diane Rehm Show or Morning Edition. Now is your time to make that year-end tax-deductible contribution at 888-774-9150.
You just heard Steve's interview with a political candidate, and it's the type of in-depth reporting and in-depth interviewing that you aren't going to hear anyplace else. This is what makes us uniquely local, and we know how much you value, and you know how much you value, in-depth, quality, fact-based journalism on KJZZ. Don't let that go away. It's your opportunity to support that programming right now at KJZZ.org or by calling 888-774-9150 and making your gift of support.
This year-end drive is very short. It'll be over Friday night at 6. We hope you'll have done your part with that tax-deductible contribution in support of local programming like Here and Now, like original programming like the show, and the national programs you've come to count on. Again, like Morning Edition, all things considered, it's all part of an important programming day here at KJZZ. You're listening right now. It's important to you. So put a dollar value on it. Maybe become a sustaining member of KJZZ. Could you afford a $25 a month contribution? It'll come out of your checking account or build your credit card account every month. You'll have done your part knowing you're helping this station sustain its future into 2014. The number's 888-774-9150.
When you do go online this morning to KJZZ.org to support your news and information station, download the new KJZZ app. It's literally been out for just a few days. It is highly cool, even in a cynical and overly media-saturated world where you can get apps for everything. This one is pretty cool. You can get it either at the Google Play or at the iPhone App Store. It's available free either place. And there's a little feature on there called Open Mic. It's out on the right-hand side. Hit the little mic, record a comment, and send. It's that fast. And you might hear yourself on the air. It's a really cool feature. So go to KJZZ.org, support your station, and download that app. KJZZ.org, or you can support the station at 888-774-9150.
The KJZZ app will also make it possible for you to hear Here and Now in its entirety, also the show in its entirety. You can hear the podcast. You can hear anything you'd like to. You can stream us. Remember, that's KJZZ. That's the KJZZ app. Give us a call, 888-774-9150. And when you do, when you make that contribution, you're automatically entered to win this incredible trip to Lisbon, Portugal. You will not want to miss out on this opportunity. This is not a trip you would plan for yourself. breathtaking, romantic, picture-perfect views. You'll travel back to a golden age, strolling the medieval streets or visiting churches, castles, and palaces. Give us a call now. Get involved. 888-774-9150.
KJZZ's able to bring you unbiased, non-commercial news because you contribute to public radio. We're in this together, so please support the service you value and depend on. Make your contribution and join a growing community of supporters. You can do it online, kjzz.org, or by calling 888-774-9150.
Thanks to Fred in Scottsdale, who supports the best, most objective programming in Arizona. He went to kjzz.org to make his contribution. You can do it as well. A reminder, this drive is short. It's an end-of-year drive. Make that tax-deductible contribution right now. Do your part, 888-774-9150.
Gina is on board. So is Lee in Mesa, Peter in Scottsdale, Dwight in Scottsdale, also Muncie in Peoria, Sarah in Gilbert. These people are brand new members, some of them sustaining new members, which means they're giving automatically monthly. You can do that too. So these are real people. These aren't just some ethereal group of public radio listeners out there who give money. These are people just like you. Your individual tax-deductible contribution makes a difference to your station. KJZZ.org, 888-774-9150.
And your year-end tax-deductible contribution makes it possible for KJZZ original programming like Here and Now, like the show, to stay on the air and sound as terrific as you want it to. Two ways to make that contribution. You can go online to KJZZ.org or make the very quick phone call, 888-774-9150. Thanks.
KJZZ is supported by the Physicians of Scottsdale Medical Imaging, caring for patients and the healthcare community for over 30 years. Locations through Phoenix, Scottsdale, and Gilbert. Details at esmil.com. Smile. All we see is you.
This is KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein. In the early summer, one issue led to the most eventful Arizona legislative session in years, Medicaid expansion. The conflict over whether lawmakers should join with Governor Jan Brewer and approve the expansion led to name-calling, arguments, and promises of primary challenges for Republicans who voted in favor. Now a report by the National Center for Policy Analysis claims the decision to expand Medicaid will lead to a huge increase in the number of people in the program, costing the state millions of dollars. Michael Bond of the University of Arizona co-wrote the report and joins me now. Why did you get involved?
My big reason for signing on to this is I don't think it's been properly disseminated that when you get increases in Medicaid enrollment, and nobody is disputing that, okay, from the ACA there, what I haven't seen in my view pointed out is it tends to produce significant crowd out of private insurance. So, for example, in the first year there, and by the way, of course, these are numbers are before the issues with the website and everything, it would not be surprising to me to see that the actual numbers you come up with in the first year are significantly lower. But if you look in the first year there, you have slightly over an estimate of about 1 million people in signing on to Medicaid from the ACA expansion. It made it under the law, you could, with a significantly higher income, you could become eligible for Medicaid. But you'll also notice that we expect about 330,000 people to drop private health insurance. So here's a gain of about 1 million people, but about a third of that number drop private health insurance. So net, you have far fewer people gaining insurance than has been, suggested by a lot of the proponents.
Are some employers hoping they don't have to provide insurance to workers because of the Affordable Care Act?
Really not correct to say that health insurance costs are businesses a burden for businesses. Your boss sees you as an employee, and he sees that he has to pay your wages, your health insurance, your unemployment insurance, all those other costs there. All right. So what he sees is that whole ball of wax there on this thing. Now, if people drop private employment or private insurance here and go into Medicaid, which we are convinced is going to happen, that's less potential penalties and things, that's probably extra money for the business. Now, I think a lot of businessmen at first are going to see that as flowing directly to their bottom line. But what will really happen in a competitive market is they will be able to offer higher wages and other benefits there. So once this grinds out, and it's not going to happen overnight, any dollar savings net of penalty they're paying probably will end up flowing to the employee. So from the employer's perspective there, he's got his people now getting some health insurance, at least on paper. So sometimes access in Medicaid is very, very difficult, especially for specialists. And yet he's got, if you will, those premium savings net of any penalties that he can convert to taxable wages or other type of benefits there. So I think some employers will, you know, not be too upset about people moving into Medicaid here, thinking it's going to flow to their bottom line. But I think ultimately in a competitive market, the savings will go to workers in terms of higher compensation.
The concept was initially we're going to get so much federal matching money that this will ultimately be worth it. Are you saying that after 2016 is when we're in trouble, or it could actually be a bigger problem even before that for deficits and whatnot?
Well, the $900 million there, assuming these estimates come true, and again, after the really bad rollout here, it would not be surprising to see those, you know, not reaching those numbers there. That $906 million is the portion that the state pays. So that's not taking into account the federal government picking up 90% of those new enrollees in terms of their costs. So if you get the kind of expansion in Medicaid that we're thinking, especially with the crowd out of private insurance, you know, this is going to cost, we think, the taxpayers a lot more than we're being told. Now, it's undisputable for physicians and hospitals and so forth that they're going to have some additional revenue coming in on this. But if this simulation is correct, for every 11 people who sign up for Medicaid, 3 drop private insurance. Private insurance pays more than Medicaid does. So the amount of revenue that the hospitals and physicians are going to get, I think, is going to be smaller than they're thinking. And since you, in effect, for every 11 people you enroll in Medicaid, if you're losing 3 who drop private insurance, you're paying for 11, but you're only getting 8, so the cost of the taxpayers is higher than we're being told.
Is there any concern at all in the premise that the feds will not actually follow through on this after 2016?
I think a lot of the people in the legislature who were opposed to this, that was the argument they were making, which is certainly possible. Even before the Affordable Care Act passed, you needed $90 trillion today invested safely to pay the unpaid bills for Medicare and Medicaid over the next 100 years. So these are enormous unfunded liabilities for the country. So yeah, I think it's entirely possible that the federal government could renege on their portion of this pickup in terms of the cost. But we haven't addressed that. We're assuming the federal government will come through with the money there. Our concern here is, well, there's several, but you know, a big part of this here is this private sector crowd out. And by the way, previous Medicaid expansions, I'm looking here again at a number of 11 enrollees and then 3 dropping private insurance. The previous Medicaid expansions we've seen, you had a lot more people dropping private insurance than that. So that number could be really conservative, which means the cost to the taxpayers is even higher.
The University of Arizona's Michael Bond, he's co-author of the report from the National Center for Policy Analysis called The Impact of State Medicaid Expansion on Arizona. Good morning. It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein. For a different perspective on the issue, I'm joined by Dave Wells, Research Director for the Grand Canyon Institute. Dave, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, your first reaction to hearing a report like this was a very serious fight that went on in the legislature this summer, and now it sounds like, according to this report, wasn't a good idea.
Well, first of all, he has a serious math error, from what I can tell.
Okay.
Because he talks about the $900 million expense. And of course, this is based on a simulation, so we really don't know. That's based on assumptions, and the report that's publicly available is only 4 pages long, and so we're not able to actually dig into the methodology enough. But he said there's a $900 million state cost to cover 150,000 people on Medicaid, and that's not correct. If you have the 150,000 extra people that they're projecting over the next 10 years would cost about $900 million, but that's the total cost. The state's share of that is going to be 10% of that, and a good chunk, if not all of that chunk, is going to be covered by the hospital assessment. So if this report is accurate about Medicaid, then the cost to the state is essentially nothing.
Dave, does this report have any weight now that we consider what, again, happened in the summer when Governor Brewer stood out and led a charge of some Republicans to combine with the Democrats to make this pass? Does a report like this make anyone regret that decision?
No, I don't think so. Because like I said because you have to keep in mind what the cost would have been if we didn't do it. The Grand Canyon Institute issued a report in May to try to talk about that. Because keep in mind, if the state had not done this, then the federal government would have stopped paying for any of the current childless adults who would gradually be losing coverage, and those who lost coverage would now seek care with uncompensated hospital costs. And uncompensated care. So what we estimated was that, you know, if the state went it their own way over the first 3 years, it's really hard to go 10 years. We took the first full 3 years. We said it was going to cost the state about $900 million extra over adopting Medicaid expansion, plus hospitals would get hit with about a $450 million bill for extra uncompensated care costs. That's $1.35 billion. And each year, and so that's, or that's over 3 years, sorry. And that's, again, that's, those are things that are left out of the equation by this report. And so even with this report, even if their Medicaid numbers were, in terms of the growth of Medicaid, is true, I don't see that as being any reason why they would want to revisit this issue.
But is that something that you think was factored in enough? If, in fact, that occurs, that more people do end up with Medicaid, whether because their employers decide to drop coverage, is that something where we may need some tweaks in the system at some point?
Well, that would be something for the federal government to consider. Because say this is paid, this added population is covered 90% by the federal government, and the state share is only 10% of it. So the state cost of $900 million is really $90 million, and that's relatively small. And given the projected growth of the hospital assessment, it should pretty much all fall under that, or there'll just be a little bit that goes into the general fund. So from a state level point, I don't see that being a concern at all. The issue about whether or not we'll end up with more uninsured people here, that's something we'd really have to dig into the report about. Because one of the great goals of the Affordable Care Act is that we're going to significantly reduce the number of people who are uninsured, and so that we'll get a better health outcomes. Because there was the Harvard study did a study of our earlier expansion of Medicaid, and they found that compared to our neighboring states, that we significantly reduced the number of deaths that were, and so we were saving lives and improving health outcomes by expanding Medicaid.
Dave, you're research director for the Grand Canyon Institute, but you also do a little bit of political analysis. Is this a situation where we think ultimately this will end up being a net plus for Arizona politicians who went along with this, even some of those Republicans who are being threatened with primary challenges?
Well, that's a whole other question. That's the politics part. Because if you were to query the American public about what they know about the Affordable Care Act, they generally don't know very much in terms of the details of it, but they hear a lot of sound bites. So you're going to hear the Democratic sound bite saying, oh, look at all this extra coverage, and you're going to hear the Republican sound bite saying, oh, we lost our health insurance, or it's more expensive now. And so you have the battle of the sound bites, and that's going to happen all this calendar year up until the November 2014 elections. And so who wins the PR war on that? Obviously, the rollout of the Affordable Care Act with the horrible aspects of the website and so forth meant the Democrats lost whatever they gained during the government shutdown. So, and at the state level, they'll probably be piggybacking on that. But that PR war is sort of just beginning.
But Dave, let's bring it back to the state. Legislative session starts next month.
Mm-hmm.
Is this an issue that, even though it won't be revisited technically from a legislative point of view, is this something you think that will still be hanging in the air at the Capitol?
Yeah, well, I think so. I mean, in a sense, because you talk about the Republican primary challenges, and that's because there were a number of Republicans who stepped forward and voted for Medicaid expansion with all the Democrats backing them with it, and a number of them are facing primary challenges, like Heather Carter in the House, and I don't know if John McComish will in the Senate, but the primary electorate for the GOP is much more, conservative and much very very anti Medicaid expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, will any of those primary challenges be successful? And if they are, so they're going to have that hanging over their heads. And and I don't know if that's going to affect anything in this session politically, but it's certainly going to be something that I know people who watch politics are going to be watching very carefully when as the primary approaches in late August, early September.
And I think we're two of those people who watch that very closely. Dave Wells is Research Director for the Grand Canyon Institute. Dave, thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Still to come on Here and Now, we'll talk about a new C.S. Lewis play being put on in downtown Phoenix. We'll talk with the artistic director of the group bringing it to town. Stay tuned.
KJZZ is supported by Mesa Arts Center. Grammy and Tony winner Audra McDonald turns her lush soprano voice onto holiday favorites, stage and screen hits, live with the Phoenix Symphony December 21st. Tickets at mesaartscenter.com.
Hi, I'm Linda Granzo.
My name is Bob Granzo.
And we are devout listeners of KJZZ. Lisbon has enough on its own to spend a week or even more in Lisbon. You still could never see it all.
That time will fly by.
You could never see it all.
Right.
What I miss the most, and you forget about it until you're back, the pace of living is so much more relaxed. People take time to eat a good meal. They take siestas. And it's very refreshing.
Yeah, it's a fun city.
Yeah.
I would go back immediately if I had the chance.
Good morning. It's KJZZ's year-end fun drive. I'm Steve Goldstein along with Mark Moran, and you're listening to Here and Now. An amazing opportunity. You don't want to miss out on this opportunity to win this special trip to Lisbon, Portugal. Mark and I will probably never make it there, so we'll be a little bit jealous, but don't miss out on your chance. Go online, make the contribution, kjzz.org.
Yeah, you'll have the opportunity to travel back to a golden age when you stroll through the medieval streets or visit the churches, castles, palaces, museums. What a just a gorgeous place, a wonderful opportunity. And, you know, I've said this before, but this probably isn't some place where you'd say, you know, let's go to Lisbon on vacation this year. This
on a
is
whim.
Not a,
yeah.
On a whim. This isn't a trip you'd necessarily plan for yourself. So we've done it for you, and you can win it by going to kjzz.org or by calling 888-774-9150.
This year-end drive is also a great chance to make your tax-deductible contribution for the original programs you hear on KJZZ, like Here and Now, and some of the other NPR programs you count on every day, like Morning Edition and All Things Considered. Whatever the program that is your favorite on KJZZ, this is a great time, and there's a great reason for you to make your contribution. This year-end drive will end on Friday night. Do your part before then and be as generous as you can be. 888-774-9150.
You can go to kjzz.org, too. And by the way, when you do make your gift, consider breaking it up and doing it monthly. Now, how does that benefit you? Well, certainly, you never have to think about it again. You'll be a quote-unquote sustaining member for as long as you want. You can continue to make that automatic monthly donation until you tell us to stop, and then automatically it will stop. It's a whole lot easier to do that. And then you're entered into every contest, like this Lisbon contest and every other contest the station ever does. Every other incentive available out there. You don't even have to be listening to the radio. You'll have automatically made your gift monthly, and you're entered. KJZZ.org or 888-774-9150.
2013 has been filled with events that changed our lives, from massive wildfires, severe weather, to sequestration. And Here and Now, we've covered CPS reform, which has been huge and emotional, pension reform in Phoenix. Also, we even looked at whether Phoenix is cool and whether young people are leaving Phoenix and they don't care about it anymore. These are issues that matter to you on a daily basis. We cover them here on KJZZ, these original programs. It's your contribution that makes them possible. So please give us a call now, 888-774-9150 or kjzz.org.
This is a very short year-end drive designed to give you an opportunity to make a tax-deductible contribution to your favorite public radio station. Also, you know you like the in-depth quality, high-level, unbiased, balanced, accurate, all those other adjectives you use to describe the journalism you hear on this station. Don't let those go away. Your individual opportunity right now is to keep that fact-based journalism on the air here in Phoenix. You don't want to lose it. KJZZ.org, 888-774-9150.
And our goal is to hear from 30 new and renewing members by noon, so about 12 or 13 more minutes, thanks to 12 of you who've made the call to 888-774-9150 or gone online to kjzz.org. We can do this together. If 18 more of you make the call, 888-774-9150, in the next 12 or 13 minutes, you can help us reach this hourly goal.
Frank in Green Valley went to KJZZ.org. So did Gerardo in Tempe, KJZZ.org. Carolyn Waddell called 888-774-9150. Carol decided to become a new member. I wonder why she decided. I wish I had Carol on the phone here to say, well, she'd probably go something like this. I've been listening for years, and I finally decided that it was time to do my part. Well, if that's you, if I'm describing you just like Carol, now is your opportunity, and you'll be entered for a chance to win the Live It Up in Lisbon, Portugal contest for two. 888-774-9150, KJZZ.org.
This very short end-of-year drive, a great way to wrap up 2013, supporting the news and information you've gotten in past years and making it possible in 2014 and beyond. Make the call right now. It's 888-774-9150. You heard gubernatorial candidate Fred Duvall. You've also heard the fight over Medicaid expansion in Arizona. In a little bit, we're going to hear about an interesting theater production coming to the Valley. We're trying to cover it all, whether it's news, business, arts, sports, all the things you care about. So please make the contribution. KJZZ.org.
It takes just a few seconds, but it means so much to your public radio station to secure the future of quality, in-depth news and journalism programming right here. KJZZ.org. 888-774-9150. It's 1150.
You're listening to KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein. To the general public, C.S. Lewis is probably best known for creating the Chronicles of Narnia, which included The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Three of the series' seven novels were made into big-budget films in recent years. But Lewis's Christian faith was at the core of writings like Mere Christianity and the Screwtape Letters. Last year, Arizona Theater Company presented Freud's Last Session, in which actors portraying Sigmund Freud and C.S. Lewis discuss issues such as whether God exists. Beginning Saturday night, the Herberger Theater Center in downtown Phoenix will host performances of The Great Divorce, based on a book by Lewis. The production is being presented by the New York-based Fellowship for the Performing Arts. Its artistic director, Max McLean, joins me now. Max, you were in town previously with a production of The Screwtape Letters, also by Lewis. How different is this story?
Where Screwtape is about spiritual warfare from a demon's point of view, The Great Divorce is about spiritual warfare from the angel's point of view, to encourage us to keep moving forward instead of just giving in to our natural desires.
Does either appeal to you more than the other as a performer?
Screwtape had a lot of things going for it that made it immediately appealing. It had a very large central character, really one of the great literary creations of the 20th century, this master of the universe character, Screwtape. The Great Divorce is more earnest. I think it's more profound and certainly has challenged me as a person more, because it's about virtue. We don't tend to explore the theme of virtue in the theater very much.
And what's the storyline of The Great Divorce? What's the plot?
Some ghosts who are either in... A ghost is a dead person. Where their spirit remains, their body's gone. They are in a place called the Gray Town. It could be the outskirts of hell. It could be purgatory. But it's certainly not a good place. It's a miserable place. People live, keep living further and further apart from each other. They don't get along. They're always quarreling. Everybody wants their own way, their own rights. It's certainly a dog-eat-dog world. And they're invited, if they want to, no obligation either way, to take a bus trip to the outskirts of heaven. And when they arrive, they're met by spirits who knew something about them while they lived on Earth. And these are also human beings who've died, but they made different choices. But the idea is that these ghosts who are on this bus trip, the celestial bus trip to heaven, if they like it, they can stay. And what's interesting in Lewis's vivid imagination is that most of the ghosts choose to go back.
Last year, Arizona Theater Company put on a production of Freud's Last Session, where Freud and C.S. Lewis have this philosophical discussion about the existence of God and many other things. Why do you think Lewis is so interesting, both based on his material and even as a character sometimes?
Lewis, if you read any biography of Lewis, and I've probably read five of them, he is certainly one of the most fascinating people of the 20th century, perhaps one of the most learned people of the 20th century. And he read everything from the Greeks to the moderns and had a steel-trap mind and memory that could recite things at the spur of a moment. He had this extraordinary spiritual journey from atheism to paganism. He dabbled in the occult a little bit, to philosophical realism, to theism, to full-orbed Christianity. By the time he was 31, and he was so thoroughly converted. I don't think anyone has been able to capture the breadth of the Christian faith, and partially because Lewis begins the question not, you know, where many Christians do, on a theological discussion about the resurrection or something like that. Lewis always begins the discussion, as he does in Screwtape, as he does in The Great Divorce, as he does in Narnia, with, does the supernatural world really exist? And what does that world, if it exists, it has a shape, it has information, it has meaning. And what are our clues throughout history, throughout literature, that make that relevant to us?
Does all of that also make his clear Christian thoughts and clear Christian teachings, does that make it an easier sell to a general audience?
I think so, because I think a general audience has this, you know, sort of vague idea that life is going somewhere. It doesn't just, you know, it just doesn't just end in nothing. But most people don't really trust, or, you know, they're a little confused because there's so many options. I believe this, believe that, believe this. Well, where do I go? And Lewis tends to cut through that. You know, that's why his book, Mere Christianity, continues to sell well, to influence people. And a lot of it, too, is in his own writing, in his own person. Lewis is so transparent. He's so generous. He's very open to other people, other views, because he did feel that if what he believes was true, and if you were a real truth seeker, that all truth meets at the top, and you'll find it. You just have to look outside yourself.
Max MacLean, he's artistic director of the New York-based Fellowship for the Performing Arts. The group will be performing C.S. Lewis's Great Divorce at the Herberger Theater Center in downtown Phoenix. First performance is Saturday night.
KJZZ is supported by Mayo Clinic, where teams of experts work together to focus on you. You can request an appointment or learn which health plans include Mayo Clinic at mayoclinic.org/Arizona.
Good morning. This is KJZZ's year-end fun drive. I'm Steve Goldstein along with Mark Moran. This is a great opportunity for you in just a minute or so to support the original programming, the news programming you've come to count on at KJZZ all throughout the year. Make that generous gift now. 888-774-9150. If 20 of you can give us a call in the next few minutes or go online to kjzz.org, it'll help us get that much closer to our goals.
Just a few minutes until, do it before you go to lunch. It's about 11:58 right now. Make that call, 888-774-9150, or go online to kjzz.org. Your individual gift and reaching these goals helps us to stay on track. This is a great opportunity to support Phoenix, and it's a great opportunity for you to make your individual contribution to KJZZ and support fact-based journalism. You don't want to lose that here in the Valley. KJZZ.org, 888-774-9150.
Whether it's heartbreaking issues like CPS reform, or talking with politicians and elected officials, or talking about whether Phoenix is cool, these are all things you've heard about on Here and Now, KJZZ's original program. Give us a call now with that generous gift of support. Whether you're a new or renewing member, this is the time to make that year-end tax-deductible gift and keep this fund drive short. 888-774-9150 or kjzz.org.
Your contribution is tax-deductible, and this is a great opportunity and a great time of the year to hear that. Make your tax-deductible contribution to kjzz.org or by calling 888-774-9150. 20 new and renewing members. We've got a few down and about a minute and a half to go. That should be you right now. Support fact-based journalism, quality in-depth news and information on KJZZ at kjzz.org or 888-774-9150.
It's supporters like Philip in Cave Creek and Janelle in Surprise who went to kjzz.org to make their contribution. Again, this is a tax-deductible contribution. If you're thinking about the year-end gift to some of the organizations you really care about, ones you should support, well, Morning Edition is here for you every day. Here and Now is here for you. All things considered, these are just some of the reasons. The issues that are going on in your world, this is the station you turn to first. If that's the case, make that contribution now, that tax-deductible contribution at kjzz.org.
These fund drives stay short with your support. This year-end drive is will be over the day after tomorrow, so do your part right now at kjzz.org or by calling 888-774-9150. 20 new and renewing members by noon, just 30 seconds away. We have a few in. Still room for you to make your contribution. KJZZ.org or 888-774-9150.
KJZZ has been here for you every step of the way, all day, every day without fail. KJZZ is central to your life and you're central to ours. Please make that contribution.